I have two messages today.
Thank the Lord.
This past week, I felt that this was the time for me to come back. When it worked as it did with Brother Dan being sick, and
praise the Lord.
I felt like I stepped out on a out of my real comfort zone when I sent the text to the congregation that I would plan to be here and possibly with two messages. As soon as I sent it, I said, maybe I shouldn't have done that. But the message that the Lord had impressed upon my heart is really in the afternoon. And this one this morning is just to open up our mind to the coming of the Lord.
Yes.
I'm going to just read the chorus. Three nights ago, I don't normally dream and remember my dreams, but I dreamed I was walking normally, and it felt so good. And it was so real. It was when I woke up, I said, I wonder if I can walk. And then the next night before last, I dreamed I was here and I was preaching, and I was preaching my heart out.
Hallelujah.
And that felt good too. So as I speak to you this morning, a lot of times when we talk about the last great day, we're talking about heaven and hell and the lost and the redeemed, and it's not going to be so much that. It's just going to be a little reminder,
yes,
that the Lord is coming again, whether we believe it or not. Or Cheryl and I have we have this little thing that we say to each other, and because she knows how badly I want the Lord to come. And so we say, I tell her, I say, well, Cheryl, I desire for the Lord to come before, you would leave this world. And she said, well, I can't be 1,000 years old. And I said, but it could be one day. And so we laugh, because we're always talking about how soon it could be or how long it could be. So this morning, I just want us to consider, and there's a reason I want you to consider it, and hopefully by the end, and as we carry it over into the next thought or a message, I want it to leave an impression on us, because the Lord is coming.
Yes.
And if he doesn't come for the whole world, he's coming for me.
That's right.
And he's coming for you.
Yeah.
But sometimes it just seems like the coming of the Lord would solve a lot of problems.
Yeah.
And yet there's going to be a lot of people lost. We know that.
Yeah.
On that last great day, oh, that last great day, it is coming very soon. How long ago do you think this was written? It was written by D.S. Warner. And I'm not sure what year he died, and I'm not sure exactly what year this might have been written. But the Lord has not come yet. And we all know what the Scripture says, that there are people that are saying, where is the promise of his coming? Because it hasn't happened yet. But that doesn't mean it will not happen. It will happen. 'Tis the judgment day, and the lost shall weep. 'Tis the crowning day, and I want us to think about the crowning day. I'm not here this morning for us to preach something that is sad. I think that we can look forward to the coming of the Lord. I do. And yet I realize what the Scripture says, that If the righteous scarcely be saved, and I'm not trusting in my own righteousness. And I know you're not either.
Amen.
So I still pray, Lord, help me to endure to the end and be saved. Amen. I still pray that way. But I'm looking forward to the crowning day. And what does it say? And the saints shall greet in that last great day. You know, what will it be to be there?
Yes.
So I have a number of scriptures that are not probably normally used in this type of message, but it's in Revelation. And it's been a while since we've been in a Revelation study. So I called Brother Jim Wall, and I wanted to verify with him that I still believed it in the right way. So our first scripture is going to be in Revelations in the 10th chapter. And I'm going to be looking at part of these verses 1 and 2 and 5 and 6. And it says, "And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, and he had in his hand a little book open. And he set his right foot upon the sea and his left foot on the earth. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven. And he sware by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the earth." And if you are reading along with me, you see I'm taking out some, I'm just pulling out some of the very core words I want to be in our minds. I'm not inserting some of those others. Sometimes we can get lost in the scripture. So if you're reading along with me, you see that I'm not reading every word. And then it says that there should be, now this is what was commanded of the angel to say. That there would be time no longer. And if in my reference in my little pink Bible that I love to read, it says that there should be delay no longer. That's the reference on it. So this angel has been, I don't know how long the angel has been standing with one foot on the land and one foot on the sea. But this angel is waiting for the signal, you might say.
Yes.
This could possibly be the first thing that you and I may not realize will happen before we hear the sound of the trump. I'm not sure, but you know, I got a hold of this chapter and this verse and this saying a number of months ago. And when I've been praying, I've said, Lord, command that angel to say time will be no more. Well, you see, God is delaying. He is allowing time to go on. Why is he allowing time to go on? For all of the lost in the world.
Yes.
He's still showing mercy.
Yes.
But there is coming a day his mercy will run out.
Yes.
And I read somewhere, I didn't copy it down, but I read this, that when God's mercy is no longer there, that's when everything will just explode. Maybe not explode, but just come apart at the seams, you might say. It's his mercy that is holding everything in place right now.
Mm-hmm.
And someday, his mercy will run out.
Yes, that's right.
All of our loved ones that are unprepared. And yet we all pray, Lord, don't take them unprepared. Don't let them go out of this. Don't we pray that way?
Amen.
Because we don't want anyone to be lost. God doesn't either. But someday it will happen. And this angel will make an announcement that time will be no more. The delay is over. The waiting period will be over. So I'm going to give you some things that are included in the chapter without reading it for the sake of time. And it says in this chapter, it speaks about the sounds of seven thunders. And so I talked to Brother Jim about that because I don't know what seven thunders really represent. But when this declaration is made for the angel to make this announcement, it is in the seventh thunder. The seventh thunder is that proclamation. Time will be no more. And there's some other connecting thoughts on that with Revelations. But he said his thoughts were these thunderings. They represent the warnings that are sent forth through the preached word. Now, you and I, we have access to so many messages that we'll never even have time on this earth to listen to. We go to camp meetings for 10 days, 30 messages. Maybe you don't go to 30 services, but we can get so waterlogged that we can hardly retain what we have heard. When we leave the building today, it will be a challenge for you to even look back and say, what was the message about today? Because there's so many distractions in the world, not just being overloaded with so many messages. If we looked up in Church of God preaching and entered, you know, the day of the Lord or the coming of the Lord, how many messages? I didn't look it up, but I dare to say that down through all of the time of the recording of messages for Church of God preaching, which there's been many, many messages before that is not recorded and cannot be placed on Church of God preaching, but it's been a message that has been the core of Church of God preaching. Oh, there's many other topics and subjects, but God is not going to allow you and me to come to the end and not have some kind of expectation,
yes,
or some kind of warning. Or doesn't it work every day when you think today could be the day and I've got to live today as though it were my last? That's one of the thunderings to keep us awake, keep us alert. So there is evidence of these thunderings possibly could have been given. I'm going to skip on down here. There's another scripture in this chapter that should really grab our attention. Because when these thunderings were going forth, John was commanded not to write about them, not to write especially this last one. And it says, there was a voice from heaven that said, seal up these things and write them not. Do you know what I see in that? What I think I feel in that? This little book that the angel had that was open. There's much more said about that book in that chapter. But that book was telling signs to look for the coming of the Lord. But the last one, if they had been at liberty to have written whatever that last thundering was, It could be that you and I could almost identify, maybe not the day and the hour, but the time would have been much more open to us. We would have said, the Lord, he's going to come this month, possibly. God said, no, you seal the book and you don't write about it. He wants his people to have a faith and a confidence and a trust that he is coming again, and I have to be ready whenever that is. He's the only one that knows the day and the hour. So this period of time that you and I are living, it's the word of God that is going forth. I think Irma and I were talking one day, comparing the messages we hear today to the messages we heard 50 years ago. We heard a lot of messages on doctrine. Doctrine is not a major issue or message that is being preached. How would you identify the messages that are being preached in this age? Isn't it messages trying to prepare us? Keep your heart, keep your mind, isn't it more messages that has to do with the heart? It does. We still believe in the doctrines, but we're working on heart issues more, because God knows the heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? I can hide things in my heart nobody else knows but God. And so he's working. These are thunderings that are going forth right now, preparing us for eternity. So Ezekiel 33:2, I don't know, time is... I can do this much faster at home. I may not be able to do all of this message this morning. It says there, when I bring the sword, and if you're reading with me again, you understand that I am selecting highlight words. When I bring the sword upon the land, take a man of your coasts and set him for their watchman. Verse 7. So thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman. Therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth and warn the people from me. Now I'll connect that with Isaiah 58:1. And it says, cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet. Now I'm not going beyond that, but I believe that that's what the Lord is crying out to the church, for us to have watchmen that knows the doctrine. Have watchmen that sees when there is a sword coming, when there is danger. And I think that it has been more prevalent in the past that we had ministers that they said, we're watchmen on the wall. We are here watching to see the dangers. And there's been much in our, I think in your lifetime, even in the young people, where there have been ministers that have cried out against the evil of the world, naming it out. We have to hear it named out sometimes. So now I just want to say that I believe that we are in a scope of time where this angel is waiting to hear this command to say time will be no longer. It will delay no longer. So the coming of the Lord, how long has it been anticipated? Thousands of years. 2,000. More than 2,000. Now, because we find that the disciples was looking for it. And here we are, this many thousands of years later, he hasn't come, and we're still looking for it. But this is what the disciples said. They said, what shall be the sign of his coming and of the end of the world? And I had to stop and think about our many little revelation studies with Brother Jim, and he passes out these books and this chart, and my own interest is back down here at the line. All of this other has been fulfilled. Revelations is really a book of history, and then giving us an understanding that Jesus is coming. He will come again. And there is a line that represents the end of time. And it's divided up into segments of 100 years. And I'm always looking over here at the last 100-year segment and studying all of these things. And then we have the seventh trumpet and the third woe. And the end is in those times. They're not going to happen. We're still in this sixth segment, you might say. I want to read just what it says from his chart. It's been an age of, and I didn't put them all down, political convulsions, according to Revelations. And you and I have lived in some political convulsions. Don't we have a little understanding that we're in that period of time, and that's just before the end. Christianity being restored. Now, Christianity, the truth was restored long before you and me. All of us were not alive when D.S. Warner brought out the light, the new, and the cry to come out of her, my people. We don't hardly hear messages like that now. But that was the restoration of Christianity back to being more open. And anyway, we'll go on. And it's also a period of time when the bride is being prepared. And that's where we are. The Lord is trying to prepare us for his coming, that we not be shocked at the sound of the trump. Okay, we'll go on. I'm going to try to skip on down a little bit. I will say this. I believe there are some among us that, maybe not just among us, anybody that might say, well, why are we waiting? Why is God waiting? And I've heard this said, well, maybe the cup of iniquity is not full. And I'm one of those that is saying, I believe it's full to overflowing, you know. And I do. I don't believe there's any lip on the cup of iniquity that has yet to be filled. I believe that God is right now in a time of mercy to people that have rejected him. So also in the Revelation studies, I've already said some of that, so I'm going to skip on down. Let me come on down to some points now, and maybe we can complete this morning. So these are just some identifying points that you and I have heard all of our lives. Why do we need to repeat them? Well, over in Peter, he said he wanted to stir up our pure minds by way of remembrance. And so all along the way, and I'm going to encourage us, let's stir up our pure minds. Not just today, but when we come to service and we're hearing the preached word, stir ourselves, because you're going to hear messages that are so similar, and I've heard that many times, and you're going to become dull of hearing, and you're going to have to say, wait a minute, I need to be reminded today because I could lose it tomorrow. Not lose out. I'm not talking about that. Just let it slip from my mind. So let's remember always some of these points in looking for and anticipating the coming of the Lord. There will be a sound of a trump. And this sound will be heard worldwide. You've never heard it before. I've never heard it before. But all of the inhabitants of the whole earth will hear this. You can't imagine what kind of a sound that will be. And time will stop. All of the actions, all of the airplanes, all of the movements, everything will stop. And of course, we have in our songbook where time and eternity meet. And it was called the crashing of ages. But it will be the ushering in of the Lord's return.
Yes.
It will be the thing that you and I will hear first. And I don't know how long it's going to take for all of this to happen in that moment, but I'll tell you one thing. The word of the Lord says, and you know it, it's going to happen as a twinkling of my eye, just one blink of my eye, and I cannot hardly comprehend that, but it will happen in a moment. And there will not be any time to pray. It will be, you've heard the scriptures, the scripture that says, as the tree falleth, so shall it lie. And people have used that concerning people that die right here. It's the same there. However we are at that moment is how we will be at the judgment. And that's why it is so important that we be warned, yes, and that we remember it every day. There's going to be a sound of a trump. Now I'm going to read 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter, verses 16 through 18. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. Oh, what a shout that will be. With the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God. So it looks like there's about three different sounds possibly at that time. And the dead in Christ shall rise first, then we which are alive and remain. Do you think about this? I've said before, I sure would like to be in the cemetery when the Lord comes back, because our loved ones are going to come up, and it's going to happen before I ascend. And it says, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we be with the Lord wherever. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. These should be comforting words to us. If we're ready to go and we're anticipating the coming of the Lord, and we're thinking every day, this could be the day, and I want my life to be ready. We can comfort each other and say, the Lord is coming one day. And we will be able to be reunited with those that have gone before and be with the Lord forever. So the day and the hour, you know, no man knows. So going to illustrate now some identifying events in the Bible. When we cannot identify the time any closer than what we can right now, because he said, seal the book, don't write it, then what do we do? We look into the Word of God, and because he's given us some identifying marks. And he said, as it was now, it's going to be then. And I'm not going to take the time to go into all of the details, because I think you already are familiar. But he said, as the days of Noah. Now, all you have to do is go back and read Noah and find out it, men's hearts were evil continually. All of those kind of things were taking place, but it says, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man.
Yes.
Therefore, be ye ready. That's a thundering. It's been sounding all these 2,000 years. Be ready, because when you see the conditions of the world developing as like it was in the days of Noah, that's a sign. Now, generations before us felt like that it was that way. Our forefathers preached this, used these very same scriptures, but don't you know it's different today than it was in my grandparents' day, or even in my parents' day, or even when I was young? Life was very
easy.
It was what?
Easy.
Life was innocent. When we were young, life was basically innocent. Evil was hidden from our view much more than it is now. Now it is completely on the airwaves. Pick up your phone and you have the evil right in front of you on your phone. So what if my parents came back today? What if my parents' generation would come back today? What would they say? Wouldn't they say it's much worse? Oh, it is much worse, because we also then have another identifying or illustration that says, and as it was in the days of Sodom, even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. Can we identify with that? I will say this, that when I was young, we didn't know what certain words even meant, because we never even heard them. And now it's on the airwaves, and it's blatantly done in front of us. You go to the parable of the 10 virgins, and that should be an awakening parable for all of us. 5 were wise, 5 were foolish, but they all slumbered and slept because of the tarrying. The bridegroom tarried. And the scripture there says, as the bridegroom tarried, there was a cry. Unexpected. They're all asleep, possibly. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. And we know the account. Those that were wise kept their oil. They kept ready. But the ones that were foolish did not. And it slipped away. And they didn't even realize it. They were numb to it. Brother Austus has been known to say, well, he said, a man said to him one time, you just think that everybody that you go to church with is going to heaven and nobody else. He says, no, it's not that way. He says, it's 50%. According to this parable, even those that are sitting on the pews, and it lines up with the parable that Jesus gave of the tares and the wheat. And Jesus said, this is how it's going to be at the end of time. There's going to be those that are not ready to meet me. They'll be counted as a tare. Sister Mary Lawson preached a message a number of years ago, and the message was, make sure you are wheat. We got to make sure we're wheat. Because the tares, Jesus said, don't even, in the parable, don't even tear up the tares. You might tear up the wheat with them. Let them grow together to the end. I'll separate it then. So a few years ago, I preached a series of messages on the coming of the Lord, but I'm going to refer to one of them. One of the messages was entitled The Sounds of the Last Great Day. And I used this one verse in our song, 355, And it just seems like it describes it so perfectly. I think it'll be this way. Behold, what wonder greets mine eye, 10,000 angels in the sky. The end has come, destruction's nigh. He comes. He comes. Oh, fearful scene, and this is the part I want to impress upon us. Creation groans while loud above the trumpet tones. What peals of joy. Don't you know that the saints are going to be shouting and praising and having those peals of joy? They're going to be happy for the end. But there was another sound. What piercing moans. He comes. He comes. Those will be the sounds of the last great day. They'll be mingled together. The saints will be rejoicing, but the lost, when there's no more time to pray, will be piercing moans. So I'm closing now. I did get through it. With a statement, this statement I read, and I want this to carry over to the next message. All of this that we've been saying was just to grab our minds, get a hold of our thoughts. But here's what I want us to remember. When the redeemed from every tribe, language, people, and nation are singing the song of the Lamb in His presence, we're all going to be singing when we get there. We're going to be singing songs of praise and thanksgiving, and it's like Marcia White, her hospice nurse said, "Marcia, what is the first thing you're going to do when you get to heaven?" She had cancer. She said, "I'm going to bow on my knees and for the first 1,000 years thank Him that I made it." And so I think that's how it'll be with us. We'll be singing the song of the Lamb now in His presence. There will be no question. This is the key. Please grasp this. There will be no question as to who was ultimately responsible for their salvation. Did you get that? Did you absorb it? All of the redeemed singing the Lamb, the song of the Lamb, there will be no question who was responsible for me making it and you making it. Who helped you make it?
Jesus.
Who did it?
Me.
Was it you?
No.
We play a part. But ultimately, God is the one that will help you and me make it. And then I said, it will be our loving and faithful God who calls us all to praise of His glorious grace. And last Sunday we talked to you about the beauty of His grace, the beauty of His holiness. And I'm going to make this statement that God, this is why God is tarrying and allowing time to go so long, because there's been times some of us would have been lost.
Yes.
There's been times that some of us may have failed the grace of God.
Amen.
And then, aren't you glad He didn't come at that time?
Yeah.
Yes, we're glad. But God feels a grave responsibility. Why does He feel such a grave responsibility to you and to me? So He feels this responsibility for every soul, saint or sinner. Why? Well, I thought on it. And it's because not one person in this world asked to come into this world or be born. Did you have anything to do with your birth? No. God knew of you before you were born, but you didn't. And you didn't have a choice. You couldn't say, well, God, I don't want to go into the wicked world. But you're here. And that's why he feels this grave responsibility. And therefore, he has provided the plan.
Yes.
For every soul. Every soul on the face of the earth could be saved. It would not drain the blood of Jesus. Thank the Lord. But here's the but in it. Every one of us were created with a will, a choice. We're called free moral agents. And you can choose. You can choose life or you can choose death. And I'm going to say that ultimately, if you hear those words, well done, thou good and faithful servant, why will you hear it? It will be because of love. That God loved the whole world so much that he gave and made a way. And so there was a time when I was lost and deep in sin. Oh, I'm going to read you a song now. I got down into it. This song is Justice Called, But Mercy Answered. Once I was lost, once I was lost down deep in sin, but Christ my Lord then took me in. My soul was on destruction's road. Then Christ came in and took my load, and that's my testimony. I was once so lost. And had I not turned to God, I believe it was my last opportunity. I've always felt that way. I've always said, when I got saved, never to give up again. You know, that's been what I call it. But Jesus took me in. For justice called and mercy answered, Jesus heard my feeble plea. Though I've been there 10,000 years, I will be there because of, say it, love. That's one reason I wanted to say this song or say this chorus. Because if you make it, it'll be there. You'll be there because Jesus loved you and he made a way. And God loved and gave his only begotten Son.
Yes.
That's our little message today.